Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not sure how I've been publishing this podcast close to regularly. What changed? No, I'm just a Christian who, like many others, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. Breathing exercises help. Journaling helps. Going for walks helps. When we're having negative thoughts and they're intense, and they're happening often, something weird that can happen is, at least in my experience, we can actually make it worse by trying so hard to make them go away over and over and over again throughout the day. We spend every waking moment playing whack-a-mole with our minds, and this is not the way. Recovery from mental health challenges is, to many people's chagrin, a slow and steady process that takes a variety of changes to varying degrees based on a person's needs and goals over a lengthy period of time. Weeks, months. In my case, it took a year before I started feeling significantly better. Regardless of where you may be in this recovery journey, negative thoughts may come, and at times we must sit with and challenge them. But just like a bickering housemate or a difficult teenager, to respond to every negative thing they said would leave us absolutely exhausted and worn. Even when we win the argument with these negative thoughts, they'll just be back again later. But through the slow and steady actions taken over longer periods of time, we can often begin to reduce the amount of negative emotions we experience and also reduce the damage they're able to cause us, to others, to our lives. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. Panic attacks are something many of us experience or have experienced. There are effective ways to deal with panic attacks when they happen. Some of you employ these methods. I've employed these methods. Long, deep breaths, physical stimuli, tapping on the shoulders, sitting on the ground, reminding ourselves or asking others to remind us that we're safe. There are many things we can do to help reduce the feelings of panic when they occur. But if all you ever do is respond to panic attacks as they happen, then the panic attacks are sure to keep coming. If, however, you do the work, take the slow and steady actions taken over long periods of time, be it therapeutic modalities or working with your doctor to find the right psychiatric medications if needed and at the right dose, or like I mentioned in the beginning, practicing breathing exercises when you're not having a panic attack can help. It can help you to regulate emotions before the panic attack occurs. Journaling helps. It helps us to get ideas out of our head that are plaguing us and putting them on paper. This, as a regular exercise, begins to build upon itself and creates a healthier state of mind. Going for daily walks helps. Science shows that daily exercise can reduce the negative symptoms of a mental health challenge. If you take those actions, be it the more holistic methods I just mentioned, or therapeutic modalities, or working with your doctor to find the right psychiatric medications if needed and at the right dose, if you take those actions or others that help your overall mental health, the feelings of panic will begin to reduce. Believe me, I've seen it over and over and over again in my life and others. Let's take depression, my old friend. He comes to visit a couple times a year. When he would come to visit in the past, I would fight him and wrestle with every thought and try to feel better by utilizing whatever external stimuli I could get my hands on to silence him. I would take his thoughts captive, and guess what? He would win. Every time, he would almost kill me. It wasn't until I learned that I could never out-argue depression, that I could never get rid of every negative thought he threw my way, that there was no biblical imperative to do so. It wasn't until I started putting in the work, addressing underlying issues of which many still remain, taking medication regularly and according to my doctor's orders, finding healthier ways of caring for myself when the depression would hit in ways that didn't lead to further depression. And it wasn't until I stopped fighting him and just did all that I needed to do anyways, for recovery, for family, for life, it wasn't until then that I really started winning. When we become obsessed with managing our anxiety by countering it at every turn and being super vigilant lest it rear its ugly head, constantly arguing with its lies or retreating into isolation from it, when this becomes the prevailing daily activity of our lives, we are sure to grow weary and perhaps even lose. When we spend each day arguing with the thoughts that depression sends our way, constantly battling the onslaught of noise that says things like, you should be ashamed, you're weak, you're nothing but a burden. When we continuously try to shut those words out by virtue of constant disagreement with it, we'll find that depression is far more adept at playing the long game than we are. Like an opponent four times our size that we punch and punch to no avail, the opponent who taunts but never falters, who waits for us to grow tired before it strikes us down with the deafening blow. That's depression. And here's the thing. For many of us, we were taught to do this. And where were we taught to do this? In the church. Bad thought, take it captive. Just like Paul said, depression, take it captive. Anxiety, take those thoughts captive. Interpreting this blatantly obvious verse this way, rather than the way it was intended, is deadly and detrimental, and honestly, poor stewardship of God's word. Paul did not say, take your thoughts captive. Paul said, he takes captive the thoughts of those who would bring lies into the church, anti-gospel lies, bad theology. That's what he's talking about. It doesn't take a scholar to figure this out. You don't need to understand the Greek. It's just there. It's just there. Take every thought captive. Try it. Try it for a day. Let's see if you don't go to bed crying from exhaustion. And the people who claim that they can do this successfully, take account of their lives. And I guarantee you, here's what you're going to find. Adverse childhood experiences that are absent, greater economic opportunity, greater familial stability, a sense of not understanding just how blessed they've already been to live a life that is healthier from a mental health perspective. Here's what I encourage you to do. Wait out the battle. Don't run from the battle. Don't hide from it. Hang out on the battlefield. You couldn't escape it if you wanted to. The enemy, well, it's gonna pop off one little shot every few minutes or so. And yeah, you can spend your day loading your musket and returning fire for fire till your arms go limp. Or you can let the enemy get away with a few hits while you build your army of professional and community support, while you fuel up the tank with appropriate self-care, while you avail yourself to a myriad of tools that God has provided to us to create greater emotional stability, while you draw up the plans for continued recovery. Then one day you wake up and the bullets still sting, but you find that more and more, they're just bouncing off, not striking deep. Skip the battle, do the work, then win the war through total recovery or through continual recovery. You win. And to the one that fights on our side, Lord, for our good and for your glory, fight for us. Fight with us and sustain us till the day you declare victory over every untrue thing our mind has been subject to listening to. Bless this brain. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.